Now, in the earlier service, a friend of mine had pointed out that the last time I preached, we went a little long. And so today, we're going to capture some of that back. So we're just going to start like this. So J-O-Y, Jesus, others, yourself. We got that? Okay. Everybody, you've heard that? You've got that? Okay. No, that's 10 minutes right there. Okay. Joy. We know the difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is the things that happen to us. Joy is what God has done for us. That they're two different things. We got that? All right. Yes? I'm not feeling the affirmation.
Yes.
Because I've got 10 minutes on that if you'd like. No? All right. So there's another 10 minutes. So we're talking about joy today and the joy of the Lord. Today is the third Sunday of Advent. The Advent season is a time to refocus and rejoice at what this season really means. The candles that we light represent hope and peace. Micah spoke on those two great the last 2 weeks. Today is joy, next week is love, and then we get to light the Christ candle. The candle of Christ, that person that imbues all of those attributes of peace, hope, love, and joy. And so we use these things and these symbols as a way to refocus us and turn away from the distractions of the world that we find. The 400 years before the arrival of baby Jesus is a time of waiting. It's dark. The world lies in sin, but a light is coming. The prophets are gone. God has been quiet for four centuries. There's no signs to see. It's silent. But let me tell you something. A voice is coming. The patriarchs have been long dead. The judges of the Old Testament were gone and been replaced by crowned mortals and kingdoms. These monarchies had consistently failed and misled. No system is working. But there's a new king coming. Humanity is dead in religion. Legalism reigns. Ceremonial acts had become shallow, and the law is not working. But a new covenant is coming. The people are defying. The God-given rituals have become empty. Even the priests are compromising. The sin offerings have become meaningless and worthless. But get ready. A lamb is coming. The temples have become a den of thieves and a brood of vipers that are called the Pharisees. They don't even know there's a new high priest coming. Nations are suffering, and the faithful are left wondering, does God even care? Let me assure you, Emmanuel is coming. God's people are desiring a glorious king. The world is yearning for eternity. A perfect sacrifice is what we so desperately need. It's a silent night. The shepherds are quietly tending their flocks, but hope is in sight. A precious gift God is bestowing this night. The Bethlehem star begins glowing. Let the good news start glowing. A baby is coming. Thank you.
Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be this a sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and earth peace, goodwill toward men."
Thank you, Elizabeth.
This miraculous event was no accident. It's not something that God created on the fly. It had always been God's plan from the very beginning of time. This event was and is the very hinge point of our Christian existence. This coming of the Christ child represented something new was about to happen in the world today. That this Christ child would change everything that would happen going forward from this point. Andy Stanley calls the arrival of Jesus God in a bod. That Jesus was fully God and fully man, and he came to earth for our benefit. When God, in his elaborate act of love that would bring joy to the world, he had you on his mind. He was thinking of you when he gave us that selfless act. God's love for us is so great that he parted with his son for our sake. For our sake, he parted from his son and allowed him to come to earth. Now, you know, when God does these unselfish acts, I wonder sometimes, how does that make me feel? I don't know about you, but I've experienced some similar events in my life. Maybe you have. You know, when we send our children off to school the very first day. You remember that? You take a picture by the front door or the mailbox. We've all got those. There was a little bit of anxiety in that. I know it was a good thing. And they were going on to good things, but there was some anxiety that I had in those moments. Maybe you did too. When they went to college for the first time, when we're loading them up and we're letting them out the door to go away to college. Man, those were tough times. I mean, it was the right thing to do, but I tell you, I had some anxiety in those moments, in that departure, in that separation from us. That God would send himself in the form of his son for our salvation, for you and me and the eternity of humanity, with no strings attached, is a story of grace that is expressed through this act of unconditional love that God offers us. Unconditional love that God offers us. The angel of the Lord's message was the good news of great joy to all people. This good news of this unselfish act. I don't know about you, but sometimes, for me, sometimes I do this thing. Our grandkids' children know that I have a bag of M&Ms in my office. And so they bring their little cup, their little, you know, their little, beggars, and they said, you know, hey, how about some M&Ms? And, you know, I'll take a handful of M&Ms and put in their cup. And before they leave, I go, I love you. And sometimes they don't look back. But I'll tell you, it's kind of a selfish thing for me. You know, when I say I love you, I want them to say I love you back. Don't you? Don't you like hearing those words of I love you? And now, this good news of great joy to all people, this unconditional act of love that God has presented to us, that God had been silent for 400 years prior to the birth of Jesus. It was a time of waiting. This morning, often people will often pray for Mike and I before we preach in the office in the morning. And Doug prayed this in his prayer, that the time of waiting is not wasted. That the time of waiting upon the Lord is not wasted. And I thought how profound that is. That the time that we spend waiting, the time that we were waiting on Christ, is a time of preparation. That we're preparing ourselves to receive this great gift of joy that God is offering us. And that this silence preceding this, he sent these prophets, Isaiah and Micah, that would tell of the coming Messiah. And this is what Micah wrote. It was almost 700 years before the appearance of Christ. And he says, but you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, are only a small village among the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel will come from you, one whose origins are from the distant past. The people of Israel will be abandoned to their enemies until the woman in labor gives birth. Then at last his fellow countrymen will return from exile to their own land, and he will stand to lead the flock with the Lord's strength, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. Then his people will live undisturbed, for he will be highly honored around the world, and he will be the source of great peace. Of great peace. The book of Micah was written 700 years before the birth of Christ. And yet Micah announces the exact place that he will be born, in this town called Bethlehem. Bethlehem literally means in Hebrew, house of bread. It's an interesting fact to me that in John 6:35, Jesus refers to himself as, I am the bread of life. And again in verse 51, he says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven to Bethlehem. Came down from heaven to Bethlehem, the house of bread. And what is it that Jesus instructs us for communion? He took the bread from the table and he said, for this is my body. Out of the house of bread, Bethlehem, came the bread of life, Jesus Christ. Now Mary and Joseph didn't go to Bethlehem to fulfill the promise. That wasn't their goal. They weren't like, oh, you know, we're going to make sure that this happens, so we're going to Bethlehem. No, they were called there because the law required them to go to Bethlehem for the census. Mary and Joseph and the birth of Christ Jesus were drawn there by God to fulfill the prophecy. That it was God's plan that they would go there, that he had set all of this in place. It was all part of God's plan from the very beginning. Don't you love it when a puzzle comes together? When Micah was professing this, they had no idea. I mean, are you kidding? There's Bethlehem, that's the place, it's nowhere. But this Old Testament prophecy, these prophecies from the Old Testament validate the truth that we find in the Bible. We talked about that last time. I don't understand it, but it's the truth. And I believe it, though I can't explain it. Oh, it gets even better than that. Can you imagine this scene in Bethlehem? The shepherds are in the hills with the sheep, tending their flocks, taking care of them. And then out of nowhere, this appearance of an angel, it says that an angel appeared and the radiance of the glory of God shone round him. I can't even imagine what the glory of God shining around an angel must be like. It must be like this great light shining around the silhouette of this angel that has come to give this story. A voice from heaven saying, I bring to you good news of great joy. The message of the arrival of this Messiah right there, right then. And in this brilliance of glory, this shining, appears these armies from heaven singing, glory to God in the highest heaven, peace on earth. This bright glory of must have been blinding and this thunderous sound from heaven that the joy of the world had arrived in Bethlehem on that day. The one we had been waiting for was finally here. Joy to the world had arrived. The gift of Jesus was an extravagant act of unconditional love. And I know we talked earlier about what I do sometimes in order to garner love back. You know, I do things. And Judy Elmer was telling me after the first service that she and Carl have this thing. Actually, it's Judy's thing and Carl responds. He's been trained very well. She said that she just will look at him and kind of tap him with the back of her hand on his chest and he goes, I love you. You know, we all like to be loved. We all like to hear those words. We love to feel that emotion of love. I tapped him 3 times and he didn't say anything. He didn't know. Bless his heart. But we love those affirmations of love, and really in my humanity, a lot of times I will set it up so that I can hear that. You know, we've been through a tough time, you know, Pat has. And we'll be sitting in the living room and I'll just say, I love you. And man, I love it when she says, I love you back. Sometimes she's sleeping. But don't we love that? Don't we love to know that we're loved? Don't we love to hear that back? That we're loved by someone? There are people out there that love us in spite of who we are? I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that's like that. Do you experience that sometimes? There's no greater joy than to know that we're loved. But God's love and great joy He offers us is unconditional. He had chosen us to be the beneficiaries of His love regardless of our response. Whether or not we respond to Him is immaterial to Him because He loves us so much. His love is so much greater that He wanted to express His love to us no matter what we do in return. So it's in this time of year that we're reminded of God's great love for us. And a time when we remember the great joy that God presented to the world, a baby that would be our Messiah, a time to rejoice. The dictionary defines rejoice as a product of joy or to show great joy. When we revisit this scene of Mary and Joseph gathered around baby Jesus in the manger, I'm reminded once again of God's great love when He offered joy to us. And every year at this time, we revisit and we say, joy again. Joy again. It is always there for us. Joy again. To rejoice. I don't know if that's what that means, but I like it. To joy again. To rejoice. Joy is a byproduct of our life with Christ Jesus. No matter where we find ourselves, it is those outward things of the world that come against us and get in the way of our happiness or maybe cause happiness for us. But sometimes that in those difficult moments, He offers us joy. When life is hard and we can't even see our way forward, He offers us joy. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. God offers us His joy in Christ Jesus. There is no greater joy than to know you're loved unconditionally. That we can go back and claim that once again, that joy that God has offered us in the person of Christ Jesus. The arrival of Jesus on earth is a powerful declaration that we are loved by God. And it's in this announcement that we are fulfilled and that we're filled with great joy. So this joy that He offers us, this joy that we can claim, this joy that we can have in the midst of no matter what's going on in our lives or in the world around us. So what are we to do with this joy? Allow the joy of Emmanuel, God with us, God's expression of His great love, to soak and saturate our minds and our hearts. Allow that love to overflow to those others that surround us, that they might see the joy of Christ Jesus in us and hunger for that themselves. Let us pray. Father God, we just thank You for Your joy that You offer us this time of year. As we reminisce, as we refocus, and as we rejoice in the coming of the Christ child and all that means to us. That in the midst of this Christ child, Lord God, You have brought to earth a love, a peace, a joy, and a hope that is beyond anything this world can offer, Lord God. And we thank You for this time of knowing and sensing the presence of the Holy Spirit through Christ Jesus in our lives. Amen.